fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'd like to continue to talk about the themes we've been touching on this week. The words of Jesus, where he said, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness. And the reality of what it means for us to follow Jesus in this time, in this important hour in the life of the church. And it's a passage, simple passage from later in the same chapter of John's Gospel about discipleship and the relationship between truth and love that I'd like to talk about today. Verse 31, chapter 8, Jesus then said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. They answered him, we are descendants of Abraham and have never been in bondage to anyone. How is it that you say you will be made free? Jesus, verse 34, says, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not continue in the house forever. The son continues forever. So if the son makes you free, you are free indeed. Freedom, truth, commitment to God's word. Let's just kind of walk through these verses for a few minutes because they're just so important. So Jesus is saying, if you continue in my word. So Jesus came previous days this week. I talked about Jesus saying he's the light of the world. But one of the ways that light shone through him, came through Jesus, was bringing to us the word of God. In him, he's the word himself. And Jesus revealed to us through his preaching, through his teaching, through his life, who God the Father is, what God the Father is like. Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. So we know something really fundamental, the most fundamental thing. We have a Father in heaven, and our Father's the creator of all things. And Jesus showed us he's love self, and the Father's absolutely trustworthy. We were made for him. He designed us in the palm of his hand. We were made for him, made by him. And we're made for a purpose, and that purpose is to be in relationship with him and to love him and serve him. We literally fulfill ourselves. Jesus tells us in so many words, we find our freedom and we fulfill our being. All the longing we have is fulfilled in our obedience to God, to having a relationship with a loving Father who we trust and we say, yes, Father, I've come to do your will. So Jesus shared his word with us. He told us about the fundamental realities of the battle of the world, the flesh, and the devil. He talked to us about sin, which he brings up here later in this passage as he's talking to these Pharisees and others. He said, if you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? It means to know and to obey his word. He said it quite often to the apostles. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. This is so important because there's so much confusion in our culture about love. Every song that comes out, just about, you know, so many songs, they're about love. Why? Because we're made for love. Most of the songs are about romantic love. We all want to love and we all want to be loved. We all want to know and we want to be known. We don't want to be alone. We don't want to be alienated and left out. We want to know the union of a heart and body with another person. We want to live in community with people. So we sing about love all the time. But without realizing it, what our culture's done is it's undermined and it's disconnected love from reality, if you let me put it that way. You know, the saints tell us, the recent popes remind us, and Jesus is essentially saying it here to us, there's no love without the truth. To be free means to live the life for which you're made to the fullest. And what are you made for? You're made for love, to live a life of love. What does love mean? To will the good of another, as other. So that's where Jesus lives. That's the world he's leading us into. And he said, my word has led you there. And if you stay in my word and you believe it and you surrender to it, and you don't have one foot in and one foot out and believe it one day and don't the next day. He said, if you stay in my word and live in my word, you are my disciple. Jesus shows us how there's an essential connection between love as he revealed it to us. No greater love is a man than he laid down his life for his friend. And he laid down his life to will the good for us, that we would be redeemed, we'd be drawn out of the whole regime of powers of the world, the flesh and the devil, that we would come into a relationship that we're meant to have. We'd become the sons and daughters of God that we were made to be. He did that all for us. He didn't die on a cross so you could say, hey man, go create your own reality. Just go do your thing, man. Follow your own bliss. I'm hip to whatever you want to do, because what's important is how you feel. And you just be true to your feelings, man, no matter what it is. It's not what he said. He said, I have freedom for you, but the freedom comes from living the truth. It doesn't come from creating truth, because even though people talk that way, to create my own truth, it's my truth, that's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. Maybe to the extent of people say, well, this is how I truly feel about something. But just because I feel that way, it's an authentic thing to say, I feel a particular way, but my feelings may not correspond to reality. Ultimately, truth is a correspondence. My mind, my heart, my will, my whole being corresponding to truth and to reality as it is. And Jesus came to say, this is reality. You're not here by accident. You have a father. You have a purpose. You live in a battle. And I've come to lead you out to life. And I understand what's in your heart, a desire to be happy, a desire to be fulfilled, a desire to know peace and joy in your life, and ultimately to be loved and to love. Jesus said, I know exactly why it's in you. Because my Father made you. I'm coming to lead you home. But you got to trust me. That's what it means to be a disciple, to radically trust Jesus on Jesus' terms, not on my terms. This is where we get it really wrong. Jesus made it clear, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He didn't just say, well, if you have an occasional emotion or a positive feeling toward me, or if you're nice to your neighbor, or you give to the United Way. He said, no, if you obey me. That's where love gets expressed. Trust, abandonment to him. And so he tells us and he shows us that love and truth are connected. Love and truth are connected. That's why the kind of the idea of romantic love that often the world wants to project to us, that if I feel a certain way, I can act toward you in a certain way. So I can be engaged in premarital sex, for example. So I feel a certain way, I feel strongly, and so this is the truth about how I feel about you, so therefore I should be able to act the way I feel. But that feeling, disconnected from the truth of what you're about to engage in, is a fundamental denial of the truth. What do I mean? Because human sexuality is an expression of total self-giving. It's not just a pursuit of pleasure. There's certainly pleasure in it. God creates it because God wants man and woman to come together. But it's a total gift of oneself. It's complete taking off the masks and being, as it were, naked together and being united. And that body language, the total giving of self and uniting oneself to the other, and it's an offering, not a taking, and to become one. That's a promise. That's a statement. It's meant to be done clearly only in a committed relationship, a real life commitment that says, I know who you are. You are an eternal creature. You were made by God. You were made for love, and love wills the good of the other, and I'm here to will your good. I'm not here to just satisfy the particular passion I feel right now. So the culture just blows it all up and misses and is blinded to the truth of the other and the reality, the objective reality of what is the meaning of human sexuality. We suppress the truth to get what we want, kind of thing. So there's no love without the truth. Here's an interesting little paragraph from a book by Pope Benedict XVI called The Yes of Jesus Christ, Spiritual Exercises in Faith, Hope, and Love. And he's trying to touch on this really between truth and love. He says, affirmation of the person would ultimately lose its meaning if being as a whole was not good. Now, that's a very philosophical way. What do we mean by being? Well, the ground of existence. We live through God's being. Everything exists because God existed first, and everything that exists shares in God. So he said there wouldn't be a good if there wasn't first a God who is good. He goes on, he says, the originally limited affirmation of love presupposes the general goodness of being. To put it another way, he said, the yes of my love, it is good that you exist, it's good that you are, I want to will your good, that kind of thing. He said, the yes of my love presupposes truth. It presupposes that the being of this man or this woman is really good, objectively good. Included in it is the idea that being of the other stems from a true good, from a true affirmation. The goodness of the person comes from first God's being, God's affirmation. God speaks a word, God breathes, and he created us. He created you, he created me. And I'm good because I'm God's idea. I'm God's creation. I come from the good God. That's the source of my dignity. And even though I'm fallen from my dignity because of sin, his son has come in love to restore me to right relationship with the Father. So the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, was putting his finger. He said, the good comes first because there's a deeper true good that we participate in. He said, love needs truth. It's a good thing to say to ourselves on occasion, love needs truth. Why? He said, in this sense, we can say that without a creator God who vouches for the goodness of what actually exists, love would lose its justification and it would become groundless. If all this is some accident, meaningless, nobody knows why we're here, what purpose this has, it's all just a fight for survival, it's meaningless, then what could the word good even mean? But we know we're creatures that long for meaning. We're meaning beings, you might say. We know there's such a thing as goodness. And we know when you look at a child, your child, your baby, you know to see a goodness there that's given. It's not just because you think it's so, but that child has a dignity and you feel it and you know it and you love and you will the good of this child. So you care for the child, you sacrifice for the child, and love pours forth from you. Well, the reason that's valuable is because that child is God's creation. A child is good. And therefore, you will the good of the other. And it's true that that child is good insofar as it's created and that child participates in God's existence, God's plan, God's purpose. So we say, yes, I see the goodness in you. It's good that you exist. And it's worth my time and energy to will your good and to help you and to love you and to serve you. But none of that would make any sense. All that desire would make no sense if life was meaningless and without a ground being. I'm going to pick this up again tomorrow to talk a little bit more. But friends, have a great day and walk in the truth that you're a son or daughter of God. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.